What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, Monday morning, waiver wire time, week three, boys. It's Pete and Rob and waiver wire James per usual. What's going on, guys? Bright and early.
What's up, Petey? Yep, already leading my league in waiver wire ads already and ad drops. So, James, I feel like this is very fitting here this morning.
Yeah, Rob has been incessantly texting me, like, who should I drop, who should I pick up, who should I drop, who should I pick up? But it's fine, because I think for the last 3 years I've been texting you pretty much the exact same things. So you're bound to get even on one of these days.
So last night, I've got a couple of guys, like, in this one league that does not count plus minus. I have Mark Scheifele on the COVID protocol list. I have Jack Hughes on IR. So I needed to make some moves. I waited until Sunday night for the new week. And thankfully, it was an easy decision for me. Lucas Raymond, 4-point game. He's a rookie stud from the Detroit Red Wings. He was only about 15% rostered last night. That will certainly rise by the end of day today, Monday. So, guys, what does Lucas Raymond bring to the table for this Red Wings team that I think is kind of blossoming before our eyes and exceeding our expectations, right? Because Vrana is out. So he's taken advantage. Bertuzzi's taken advantage of playing with Larkin, and it's been an amazing performance so far.
Yeah, I think when you look at what these guys are doing, you know, they're just being given the opportunity to play. And Lucas Raymond, you already said it, Pete, 20% rostered now in Yahoo. So since yesterday, even before the hat trick, he's up 10% in how much he's rostered in Yahoo leagues. 4-point game, hat trick, 4 shots on goal. You know, he's only had points in 3 games this season, but 2 of them are multi-point games, but he's shooting the lights out right now. I mean, 16 shots on goal in 6 games. So he's showing that he's not afraid to, you know, to rip the puck wherever he is. Bertuzzi, obviously he couldn't play in their game on Saturday night in Montreal because of his vaccine status. But back in Chicago last night on Sunday, he had another great game. Dylan Larkin, my one concern about this team is that they're very, very top heavy. And that if you're not getting one of those guys or of Vrana, if you're not getting a Moritz Seider, you're not really going to see a whole ton of value until they get another center there. I still think that their center depth outside of Larkin is going to hamper them, especially from a fantasy perspective. But if you can get one of those guys, a Bertuzzi, a Larkin, or a Raymond, absolutely have to jump on them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I wouldn't go too heavy and stack, you know, 2 or 3 guys from Detroit. I'd like to have just one as a sweet spot. You probably missed out on Bertuzzi already. If he's in your league, it's probably not available. For Mo Sider, that's another one you could get for exposure on the back end. But I really like what we've seen from Lucas Raymond and the Detroit Red Wings in general. And I think it's fair to say that Raymond's certainly playing as a Calder Trophy finalist right now. And I don't think it would shock anybody here if he stuck around in that position all season long. I just do think it's worth noting that this is the Detroit Red Wings. They are not, you know, close to being a top 10 team in the NHL yet. So, you know, maybe temper your expectations a little bit, but I think Raymond absolutely deserves to be picked up in many leagues.
It's funny when you look at the rookie scoring leaderboard, I mean, you see some funny names. I mean, Raymond is a top level prospect, so we're not surprised to see him there so soon. But you see Bowen Byram, the defenseman up there who we've talked about before. You see Drew O'Connor from the Pittsburgh Penguins, who absolutely romped the Toronto Maple Leafs the other day, who is on more of a hot button pressure alert right now than Toronto and Chicago. So those are 2 teams that I think we're starting to change our tune on a little bit, at least fantasy wise. Which team are you more likely to drop somebody from on this Monday morning, either Toronto? I think it's probably Chicago, right, guys?
I asked James this morning at like 7 o'clock if I should drop Marc-Andre Fleury for just about anybody in my league. I actually asked about Jake Allen in particular, but Chicago, I think the reason why I'm going with them is because they don't have that depth that Toronto does. And secondly, I think Chicago, if they really look at their roster, you know, even after bringing in Seth Jones and Marc-Andre Fleury in the offseason, I think they look at the roster and they say, wow, we really could benefit from another top 5 overall draft pick.
Yeah, I think right now it's got to be Chicago. That there's so few fantasy assets on that team that are producing. And even Patrick Kane and DeBrincat aren't really living up to the hype that we had on them coming out of last season. It's a little shocking actually to see how just poor Chicago is playing right now and how inconsistent they're playing. But you could also say the same thing about some of the guys from Toronto. But I'm not pushing the panic button on, you know, getting rid of guys like an Austin Matthews or a Mitch Marner, Tavares, Nylander. Like these guys, they're going to turn it around. I don't know if Chicago is going to turn it around. The one surprising thing is I think the Maple Leafs are about 19 for their last 130 on the power play, which when you are looking at that power play lineup, you just have to sit there and question how can these guys not be scoring at, you know, a 30% clip, and they're in the low teens. So that's a very, very concerning aspect of what the Maple Leafs are doing right now. But I have more faith and more presence of mind to not drop anybody from the Maple Leafs in those, you know, core guys, or even the peripheral guys, you know, like a Michael Bunting or a Nick Ritchie, somebody like that, because I think they're going to turn it around at some point. Chicago, I just don't see it.
I guess at least the Maple Leafs have the impending return coming up sometime soon of Peter Mrazek. Maybe that can help them a little bit stay afloat. But I agree, James, like some of the usage is a little strange for Toronto. Like me and Robbie were saying last week, should we consider Rasmus Sandin? No, we didn't, because his ice time is so low, surprisingly low, given his productivity, right, in the NHL level. So that's one of the concerns with Toronto, but certainly Chicago. I mean, I think the first coach on the hot seat at the time of the show, about a week and a half into the season, is Jeremy Colliton. And I think if you have a Kubalik, if you have Jonathan Toews, you got to be thinking who's the best option available. If you have any of those secondary guys on Chicago and you see Jordan Kyrou from the St. Louis Blues or a Joel Farabee, or I mean, those guys are probably gone at this point, but even a Timo Meier, who Ben Zweimann was really high on, and he's among like the top 20 overall players right now. So definitely go to Yahoo, sort by performance rank, current rank, and see who some of the best guys in your league are. And then hit up me and Robbie and James with your questions to see if that guy's just a flash in a pan, or if he's for real, that he could have some staying power.
We're getting to the point where Chicago is a team that, you know, I don't think you should hesitate to drop a Jonathan Toews or one of those type players, because at what point does a streamer spot become more valuable in fantasy than a guy like Jonathan Toews, who is probably capped like a 60 point ceiling right now? Like Montreal, we were kind of talking in the same light about them, where, okay, they're probably going to turn things around a little bit, but the ceiling's just lower, I think, than we all thought it was going to be. So drop probably, I would say, Toews. Fleury, it's tough to do that because he has that name value coming off of Vezina Trophy season. But I think I'd go with James logic here, where it's probably more valuable to play the waiver wire, even early season, even if those guys do turn it around, you can probably find similar or better value on the wire.
Yeah. I don't even know if Marc-Andre Fleury is going to end up the entire season in Chicago. I mean, you know, I would say that a few more weeks of this and they may be, you know, starting to look at pieces that they can sell off, and, you know, unless they do a coaching change and something turns around. But this team is just on paper going into the season, we thought that this team was going to be a lot better. And you just look at it right now and they're just devoid of, you know, the talent that they need to compete. And, you know, they tried to run it back one more time, you know, with Toews coming back. And don't forget, he hadn't played in a year. And so he's looked rusty. Kane and DeBrincat haven't played. Seth Jones hasn't, you know, lived up to being Seth Jones that, you know, we normally know him to be. And Fleury, you know, I've watched a bunch of the Blackhawk games, and yes, Fleury has given up some bad goals, but that team is just hung about to dry on a number of opportunities. And I don't fully think it's on him. I think that, you know, they're doing this more in spite of Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, and not to hang Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, out there. I don't really think it's his fault, but yeah, I'm not really rostering anybody from the Blackhawks right now outside of, you know, like a Kane or a DeBrincat, because I know that at some point they're going to turn it on.
Right. I mean, they're going to have some, especially if they make a coaching change, they're going to have a spark. The problem is the roster is just not built the right way. I don't even put that much blame on Seth Jones because there's nobody around him. You know, if he's on the ice for all these goals against, and yeah, Fleury in a contract year, I think would certainly provide some value to a contending team. I think it's easy for them to make that type of a change at some point this season, because they really didn't have to give up anything to get him, right? Like, so from Vegas, it was more of like a cap move for Vegas for Fleury's contract year. So keep an eye on Fleury, stash him on your bench if you can for a couple of weeks, just to see how this thing plays out. That said, I mean, a couple of guys out there, right? Mike Smith is banged up. So Mikko Koskinen's 3-0 to start the season, looks pretty good. He's been relatively stable for stretches at different points in his career. So definitely the top option for this week. And then there's like the Red Wings tandem that we've mentioned before. If Nedeljkovic or Greiss is available, that team certainly on the upswing. And then even Adin Hill from the Sharks. I mean, I know the Sharks came back down to reality a little bit over the weekend, but they've still been a big surprise, and they've been in a favorable division. So, and they will continue to be. So yeah, Adin Hill for the Sharks, less so James Reimer, but I think Adin Hill has been one of the early surprises on the waiver wire. And he's even just stream him, see what happens. Or maybe then go to one of the Ottawa guys, right, Robbie? Like, I know what Matt Murray is injured again. So you have Philip Gustafson back up from the AHL. That's another guy, rookie eligible, that I might consider in a deeper league.
Mikko Koskinen is the guy you clearly want to grab here. 943 save percentage through three games is really solid stuff. Granted, the first two opponents were Anaheim and Arizona. So, you know, there is still the jury out on that one, but I think that's looking up as to one of those waiver wire ads that could be defining in the fantasy season this year. For Mike Smith, the predominant goalie there, he is banged up. He is getting up there in age. You have to think Koskinen's already shown enough to be the true, you know, kind of 1A and then 1A. It's almost like the same thing. I mean, I would almost give the edge to Koskinen if he can keep this up over a guy like Mike Smith. I think to answer, you know, about the Ottawa guys, I just don't have the same feeling about Ottawa, obviously, as I do about Edmonton. San Jose, I respect what they've done so far, but I have a really hard time picking up James Reimer on my waiver wire. Same with Adin Hill. I like this early season start, but I think it's just going to be one of those teams, unfortunately, I just can't get fully behind this season. I like that they're competitive, and I hope they stay like that with Burns and Carlson, but I'm not running to my wire to pick up those goalies.
On the early season bingo card, who had former Coyotes goaltenders, with Adin Hill having better stats than Darcy Kemper? but I would agree with that, Rob. I'm not running to the waiver wire just yet to pick up Adin Hill. You know, he's a flash in the pan for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, I have to see him continue, because I still don't trust that Sharks team enough. And I've seen questions online where people are like, should I consider dropping, like, the first few games, like, oh, should I consider dropping, you know, like Sorokin or Spencer Knight for Adin Hill? And I was like, what are you thinking about doing? I mean, you know, it's Adin Hill we're talking about. This is the San Jose Sharks we're talking about. Like, it's three games into the season. Like, temper your expectations a little bit. You know, Koskinen was my top goaltender on the waiver wire. You know, three wins so far on the season. A 2.03 goals against, a 943 save percentage. And as a streaming option right now, until Smith comes back, especially if you're a Smith owner, you have to go out and pick up Koskinen. You look at the schedule that they have coming up right now. I mean, Philadelphia, Vancouver, Seattle, Nashville, and the Rangers are their next five games. I think you absolutely have to hammer Koskinen there, because he's probably going to see four of the starts in that span. And I would expect that, you know, he's going to get at least three of the wins.
What do you guys think about this kid, Nico Dawes from the New Jersey Devils? Blackwood's been in and out of the lineup dating back to the preseason. Jonathan Bernier now out of the lineup. He had his first game over the weekend. So far, so good, right? He beat the Buffalo Sabres, which is not any measuring stick type of game, but it's still a win. It's still a 20-year-old goalie. He's a German goalie. He played really well in the OHL. His most recent season, played 38 games, 924 save percentage, 5 shutouts for what it's worth. Is there any appeal in the Devils, who I know in a couple of my leagues since we last talked to Ben, I'm activating Ty Smith because he came back over the weekend. So, and that certainly helps the goalie who's going to be in the crease for Jersey.
I mean, I can see it if you're in a really, really deep league. I think that's why, you know, the Aiden Hills of the world, the guys in Ottawa are intriguing, because goalie is so thin, right? So you can't just turn and say, oh, I don't have interest in any of these guys. You have to consider somebody. Nico Daws is a highly touted prospect. You know, he could be a full-time player this season for New Jersey if he sticks, you know, getting these good starts. But it's the Buffalo Sabres, right? And I just can't put much stock into that. Now, if this team had a healthy Jack Hughes and there wasn't, you know, the shoulder injury to be concerned about, yeah, I'd be a little bit more aggressive and maybe stream him if I was in a bind with goalies in the early season. But I think for this position, it's probably the one you wait the longest on for trends to shake out. I'm not going to pick up Nico Daws right now. I know they play the Flames this week, who have looked pretty good, you know, in their last two or three games. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are sensational so far this season, and then the Columbus Blue Jackets on a kind of a boring Sunday matchup. So I'm not. Don't think I'd stream him this week, but I think it's certainly a player you click the star button next to in Yahoo and just kind of keep an eye on his stat line.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not running out to pick up Nico Daws just yet. I'm not even going to stream him, but you know, I could see as a matchup dependent spot start right now, if you really need somebody or you know, you need a great value play for a DFS lineup, 100%. But you know, 20-year-old goaltenders who beat, you know, 9/10 of a Buffalo Sabres AHL team. I got to, you know, wait and see on that one a little bit more, you know, let him get going a little bit, especially behind that defense. Once they get up to speed and he's still playing good, you know, 3, 4, 5 games in, okay, we can have a conversation. But one game right now, I'm telling everybody temper their expectations, because you look at their schedule coming up, they play Calgary next and then Pittsburgh. Columbus, who's been playing better than anybody has expected them so far, Anaheim, and then Los Angeles. So, you know, they do have a pretty tough schedule coming up, especially their next two games against two teams that are surprisingly scoring a lot here early in the season. So I'm going to say temper your expectations against Daws until he really does it against some quality NHL talent.
So a couple of defenseman options that caught James's eye on the top 10 waiver wire piece, NHL.com/fantasy. Find it every Sunday. We update it. So now like Raymond's on there after a big game on Sunday night. But on defense, Nate Schmidt for the Winnipeg Jets is playing on the top pair with Josh Morrissey and has been racking up assists lately, right, James? And then Kevin Shattenkirk from the Ducks. We mentioned him on a previous show, but now he's among the defensemen scoring leaders in the whole league. It's a guy with a pedigree. Do you lean one way or another if you're choosing between a Shattenkirk or a Cam Fowler versus Nate Schmidt, who's playing for a much better team?
Yeah, I'm going Nate Schmidt on this one right now. I do love Shattenkirk, but obviously we know that the Ducks have, you know, guys like Fowler and Drysdale and Hampus Lindholm. You know, Nate Schmidt was brought in. Obviously, I mean, the Jets have, you know, Neil Pionk and Josh Morrissey as well. But, you know, Schmidt was brought in because, you know, he didn't fit in Vancouver last year. And now he's going to get the opportunity to really be, you know, like the top pair defenseman, the solid top four two-way defenseman that we really believe that he has always had the opportunity to be. And, you know, you look at his point totals from his past seasons in his career, and he has put up 30 points three times when he was playing on the Vegas Golden Knights in a more expanded role. Obviously, you know, salary cap situations being what they are, they had to trade him before last season so that they could fit in, you know, Petrangelo and some of the other guys. But I think that this is a really, really great situation for him. And I think once you get Mark Scheifele and once you get Blake Wheeler back from the COVID protocol, it's just going to boost his fantasy value even more, because now he's going to be skating on that top pair. He's going to be skating on a second, the point of a second power play unit that is going to see Nick Ehlers more fully on it. I still can't understand how Nick Ehlers isn't on the top power play when Scheifele and Wheeler are there, but you know, that second power play unit is pretty lethal up in Winnipeg as well. So, you know, he's going to get a lot of exposure to their very, very potent top six, and he's going to see a lot of opportunity on that second power play with some really good, you know, point producers. So yeah, I'm absolutely leaning Nate Schmidt there.
I think it's fair to say, though, that Nate Schmidt is a guy that pretty much every season for the past three or four we've talked about at one point for like this exact reason. He's good to stream for about a week or two tops, and then he cools off and just kind of disappears. I'd have a very hard time believing at the age of 30 that this is going to be his breakout season for Winnipeg. But it's also fair to say that Winnipeg at the end of last season was alternating Josh Morrissey on that top power play over Neil Pionk. Now it's Nate Schmidt. So you have to see that the situation in Winnipeg is evolving. You know, Paul Maurice is not a guy that's scared to shake things up on the power play. As you mentioned, James, not sure why Ehlers isn't the guy playing the entire power play every time they get an opportunity. But I do think it's worth riding the hot hand right now. I would drop, you know, a decent caliber defenseman, you know, for Nate Schmidt to get the streamer spot. But Kevin Shattenkirk, I do give maybe a slight upper hand to just because he's kind of a proven power play guy. His shot totals are a little bit better. And I think Anaheim's just a team I look at with a little intrigue, not to the level of the Jets, but I like the player in Kevin Shattenkirk as a little bit of a safety net in fantasy as he's proven over his career so far.
All right, well, they play each other tomorrow night, so you take Shattenkirk and I'll take Schmidt, and then we'll see how they do.
I'll just say I'm not picking up either of these guys in my own leagues. They don't have the cachet, I guess, so the name value I'm looking for. I'd rather kind of wait till someone panics and drops, you know, like a guy from Toronto, like Jake Muzzin or someone like that, that I can know I can get those secondary points from an elite team.
I might take a stab at Evan Bouchard from the Edmonton Oilers, right? This guy has been covering some key fantasy categories, especially if you're in a block shots league. A game last week, Bouchard had 7 blocks in one game. He's playing, you know, behind the Darnell Nurses and Tyson Barrys of the world in ice time. But his last game, actually, against Vegas, when they beat Vegas, Edmonton did 24-05, plus 2, a shot, 2 hits, 2 blocks, and over his past 3 games, he's a combined plus 5 with 3 points. So, I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at him 19% rostered at the moment. I might rather have a guy with untapped potential like Bouchard from, right, Robbie, you did the power rankings last week in Edmonton very quietly with all these other teams struggling around the league, like Vegas, like Colorado, you know, like Tampa and some of these others. Edmonton's the top 5 team in fantasy right now, no?
No, they absolutely are. And I think they have the ceiling to be that in real NHL standards too. This team has shown, you know, just by a couple of those youth infusions, they've been really good. And Zach Hyman, holy moly, when he's on the top line with McDavid, this guy is a must roster player in DFS. Obviously, you got to start this guy every night they play in your season long league as well. And you look what happens when you bring in guys like Hyman. Puljujarvi's playing lights out so far this season, and it just trickles down to the defenseman position. Obviously, Duncan Keith is left out of this one. I think he's pointless so far on the year, so don't go out and pick him up. I love the Bouchard play, Pete. I would also look at a team like Colorado, who we mentioned is not playing well, but Bowen Byram quietly has 4 points, 1 shy of a point per game pace this year for him. I just like to pick up defensemen, James, that I know are on really elite offensive teams, and at least I can get some trickle-down effect in the points column.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, kind of the perfect scenario, the perfect storm when it comes to defensemen. And you look at Evan Bouchard right now, and he actually was outplaying and outperforming Tyson Barry, who they just gave that contract extension to. And he was in, you know, Barry had a few really bad plays in their game over the weekend, and Bouchard actually was getting time in Barry's place. On the power play and in certain situations when, you know, Barry normally over the last year and a half being in Edmonton would have been on the ice. And so it's, you're starting to see a little bit of a shift in the dynamic now. It's, you know, they're top two defensemen. You know, a lot of people thought, all right, well, based off of last year, I think Barry was like a top five defenseman in scoring last season. And we thought, okay, it's going to be, you know, Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barry as, you know, kind of the top fantasy options. And now it's like Evan Bouchard is actually, you know, slightly more valuable than Tyson Barry is. Obviously, Darnell Nurse is still, you know, the guy that you want to own from Edmonton. But yeah, it's a little surprising, you know, to see Barry off to such a slow start. But Bouchard is one of those guys where, especially if you can grab him right now, or if you can stream him right now, you know, I would take him over, you know, some of these guys like a, you know, like a Drysdale or an H. Schmidt or a Mo Sider on, you know, more of these suspect offensive teams where you're not going to see as much production. I'm going to roll a guy who is going to have a chance to, you know, be out on the ice consistently with either McDavid or Drysdale on a night in and night out basis.
So I'm looking at the list of most dropped players right now. And for some reason, Jonathan Dahlin from the San Jose Sharks is on there, despite having points in each of his past two games and seven shots in the span, a plus three. He's playing with Timo Meier and Logan Couture. If you haven't looked at the performance-based leaderboard, Logan Couture is having a bounce-back season in a big way. And, you know, of course, that team playing really well, despite not having Evander Kane in the lineup, who's been suspended since we last talked. So, you know, of course, Dahlin from the Sharks is a guy that's playing in that position, the left side of Couture and Meier that Kane usually occupies. How do you treat this rookie for the rest of the season, not knowing what's going to happen with Kane? Is he like the first guy you would drop from your roster? Because maybe that's what's going on here.
I wouldn't do that. And it's funny, though, this does happen every time a team loses a game, you know, like someone runs out there and it's like, oh, we got to cut the loss from whoever team it was that lost. And do yourself a favor, if you want to laugh, go onto the Yahoo player pages of a player in fantasy. And if they have one bad game or if they don't have a point, like the comment section is absolutely hilarious with just people asking if they should add or drop all these ludicrous scenarios. It's definitely a good way to cheer you up if you lost your fantasy matchup on a Sunday, especially. But I wouldn't cut the cord on Dahlin. I like the Sharks. I like that their deep appeal. I just, again, if you don't have these guys, though, I wouldn't run out and grab them. I think the Sharks have been competitive thus far. 4-1-0 to start the season is nothing to scoff at. It's better than starting, you know, out like Montreal, who's been a dumpster fire so far, you know, excluding their one win there. So look, I like Dahlin, but again, the Sharks, I can't get too excited about this year, James.
Yeah, I'm not getting too excited about the Sharks, but I am excited about a player like Dahlin. I'm excited about a player like Alexander Barabanov, you know, Timo Meier having a bounce back season. So, you know, there are definitely some players on this team that I'm very high on right now. Obviously, Logan Couture, like Pete said, and you know, Dahlin, he had an assist last night. So that's, you know, points in three of his past four games. You know, he has 12 shots on goal in that span. So he's being trusted in a big role. I mean, you can sit there and you can, you know, say everything that you want to say about how we don't trust the Sharks long term, but it's something to be said about a rookie stepping into, you know, the top line and playing with seasoned NHL, you know, veterans who have been top players in the league in the last like 6-7 years and all-star, you know, level players. And he's performing this admirably. It shows that the coaching staff has a lot of faith in him and that they see a lot there. And so that they're going to give him every opportunity to stick in that position. And I think that he is a guy that you want to have, certainly as a streamer, as a spot start in DFS and especially in deeper leagues and keeper leagues, that you want to have on your radar. But he would be, you know, depending on who you have, you know, available, or if you have somebody coming off of IR, he would be one of those candidates to drop in a more shallow league.
Now, I do think we have to say Evander Kane's name here because he's a player that's eligible to return to the NHL in less than a month already. Time is flying right now. So Evander Kane does play left wing. He would be in the top six if he does return to the San Jose Sharks. So for people that I know a lot have stashed him, very valuable player in fantasy coverage-wise, you know, something to keep an eye on if you're going to get one step ahead of the curve and you expect him to come back for the Sharks. One of those two players is probably getting bumped down to a much lower ice time scenario.
Right. If he does end up playing for the Sharks or somebody else, I mean, he's coming off a career year last year in the shortened season. So if he puts that over a larger sample size, you never know. It's a player that if you're doing well in the standings, you know, maybe you pick up, even though you can't put him on any IR spot or anything. If it's a deep league, you pick him up and you take your chances there. I'm glad James mentioned Barabanov because he came back, played with Hurdle. Of course, we've talked about Eklund and we talked about Dahlin. And, you know, now we're talking about Barabanov. These are younger-ish players. Barabanov's a little older, but a lot of people might forget that he was playing with Hurdle down the stretch last year after getting traded from the Maple Leafs and he had 7 points in 9 games. It was garbage time, but, you know, he belongs in the top six as well on the right side. So all of a sudden you're seeing a little crowded situation without even Kane there in the top six for San Jose. We thought that top six forward group was a little decimated after last season, but all of a sudden some hidden promise for sure. So I would actually be inclined to maybe pick up one of these guys. It's the same thing as we were talking about with Detroit and some of these other, you know, shaky-ish teams where you wouldn't take two guys, but I would certainly take one of those three young guys and stream him in the short term. Barabanov did not play in the first 4 games of the season because of like an injury situation, but he's back and he had an assist in his debut.
And real quick, before we wrap up here, Anton Lundell of the Florida Panthers also fits the bill of a young player making an immediate impact. Quietly has 5 points in 5 games for the Florida Panthers. He's covering categories too. If you're in a league that counts blocks, he's picking up blocks as well against the Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday at 2. And I think the Panthers just fit that bill of a really safe team in fantasy. I might take a stretch at taking a Lundell over one of those guys on the Sharks. And nice little development for Lundell is Sam Reinhart has been skating along him. And Reinhart's a guy that was dropped in one of my leagues early on. I put in a claim. Luckily, I had got blown out week 1 in my fantasy league, so I had the waiver priority. And now Sam Reinhart's on my team. I won my week 2 matchup, and we're trending up.
Now, a question about the Florida Panthers that I have for the two of you, because I've been getting a lot of questions with how good Bobrovsky has started the season is in redraft leagues and in single year leagues. What are you doing with Spencer Knight right now? I mean, you know, one start in 5 games, he played phenomenally against the Lightning. But you know, it seems like they are going to roll Bobrovsky out there as much as they possibly can until he really cools down. You know, I'm trying to tell people to hold steady with Knight, but it's kind of almost like a situation last year with Varlamov and Sorokin from the Islanders where, you know, the first, I think 20 games of the season last year, Varlamov started about 15 or 16 of them. So what's your guys' take on the Spencer Knight situation in non-keeper leagues at the moment?
I think sometimes the quality could be better than the quantity, and that applies here with Spencer Knight. I mean, how about the Panthers goalie tandem now? I mean, Robbie and I don't have this problem, right? Because we drafted them both in our joint league. So we're benefiting from having both on the same team. Last year, they were 7th in team save percentage. This year, they're looking like they might finish top 5. I do think Bobrovsky, you know, has a little sell high label on him right now, just because Knight could emerge and there could be a production trend. But I might not sell high on Bobrovsky because I think that the state of that team, they're definite cup contender. They're the deepest team in the league. They're the best fantasy team in the league in terms of finding different guys, even as deep as their third line with Reinhart and Lindell, like you guys mentioned, and their defense. People are picking up Forsling, and he was really valuable last year. Another defenseman from that team behind Ekblad and Weegar. So, yeah, I don't think I would sell high on Sergei Bobrovsky, but I would think that by the end of the year, that starts gap will close because Bob has had trouble maintaining a consistent fantasy performance, at least since he's joined the Panthers a couple of years ago.
this is the Ilya Sorokin situation from last year, where he hardly played for the first month and a half of the season. And then if you held on to him in fantasy, he basically won your championship for you. I could see that happening with Spencer Knight of the Florida Panthers. It's really tough to drop any player from that team, let alone one of the best goalie prospects in the entire NHL that we've seen probably for the past 10 plus years now. So I have to say, hold the player, James, but I think it's a really good point you brought up, because people that get off to slow starts in fantasy are very apt and nimble on the waiver wire. They want to make moves so they stay competitive, but there's no scenario in which I'd drop that player. Now, Swayman is a name from the Boston Bruins that looks like he's been totally outclassed by Linus Ullmark early in the season so far. That's another one to keep an eye on there, because you don't want to drop a guy like Swayman because he has the pedigree and kind of the prestige attached to the prospect name. But again, if you're getting next to nothing start-wise in fantasy and your team's off to a bad start, you might have no choice but to go to the waiver wire and unfortunately stream a guy like Thomas Greiss, or, you know, one of the ones we mentioned earlier, where it doesn't have the same level of upside, but you might actually just need the starts.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I'm telling everybody, hold on to Spencer Knight, hold on to Spencer Knight. I understand. Trust me, I was in the same situation last year because I had Ilya Sorokin on my team and I didn't have Semyon Varlamov, and I had to just sit there and wait for Sorokin to get his starts. But as the season progressed, he got a lot of starts the last, you know, 6-8 weeks of the season, and, you know, definitely was a big factor in me, you know, getting to the playoffs. I am fortunate too, like you guys, I have both Knight and Bobrovsky in my main league. You know, Andrei Vasilevsky is actually the worst goaltender I have on my roster right now, which is a surprising statement to be making at this point in the season with a sub 900 save percentage. But yeah, I'm telling everybody, you know, hold on tonight. Just let it play out a little bit more. And I agree with you there, though, Rob. I mean, I don't want to cut the cord on Swayman just yet, but we saw the numbers that Ullmark put up on bad teams when he was in Buffalo. And I said, going into the season, I think he's going to be the better of the two goaltenders there. If you have the opportunity, in my opinion, to swap out Swayman for Ullmark, do it. I think this is kind of like the Panthers situation light is the Bruins with Ullmark and Swayman, just because I don't trust the Bruins as much as I do the Panthers, but I also don't trust Jeremy Swayman as much as I trust Spencer Knight.
Yeah, I'm holding on to Jeremy Swayman in the one league I have him in. I think my four goalies are Sorokin, Knight. Sorokin actually back-to-back shutouts. He bailed me out because I had him mistakenly on my bench on Saturday, so I missed the shutout. So I was like, oh, I'm going to lose that category now. But then he got me a shutout on Sunday, so he made up for my miscue there. But yeah, with these young goalies, I mean, I don't think drop should ever be in the conversation for Spencer Knight. I think it maybe would be trade, if anything, because this guy has tremendous value. Even if someone else is sitting out there like me, I would trade for Spencer Knight in any league that I didn't have him. I have him in two of my three leagues, though. So one young goalie before we wrap that has me worried. The team has me worried a little bit. LA Kings, Cal Peterson. Peterson allowed 7 goals the other day to the St. Louis Blues, who are absolutely ripping it up. Like I said earlier, Jordan Kyrou, 8 points in 4 games. He did it even when Buchnevich was out, and they scored 7 goals without Buchnevich. Now Buchnevich is coming back on Monday, makes that second line even better with Kyrou. But yeah, back to the Kings. I just see still a young team. Doughty got injured, so that's a concern. Nobody scores on this team other than the Kopitar line. So Kopitar is an MVP candidate early. I just wonder if that team with an injury to Doughty has any chance of contending now.
Yeah, I was high on this team going into the season. I was expecting the Kings to be able to compete for a playoff spot. You saw how well Cal Peterson played last season. You know, Jonathan Quick, I think, is still capable enough. But yeah, the depth scoring and even the defensive production outside of Doughty is starting to get a little concerning right now. I would still try and tap into, you know, some of the guys that they have on that team. Obviously, I'm a very big Victor Arvidsson guy, and he has started the season very, very nicely on that line with Kopitar. But outside of that, you know, Arthur Kaliev has cooled off a little bit. Tachev, I don't even know if he's been skating in the lineup lately. You know, Sean Walker is probably the only defenseman that I'm even considering at the moment, with Doughty injured. And even when Doughty comes back, you know, they just don't have as much depth, I think, as we were expecting. And I just don't know if I can really trust the team offensively with Phil Deneau as their second line center.
I like the Kings. I like Cal Peterson, but they're clearly not ready yet, or at least early season, they're not ready to be that team that a couple of us thought they were going to be this season. If you drafted Cal Peterson, you probably did so in the last round of a fantasy draft, where you should have no shame dropping a player like that early on in the season. I do think his numbers will stabilize a little bit. He's better than what his performance has indicated thus far. But I do think, you know, last round of drafts, it's okay to drop those guys. Where the shame comes in is like me when I picked Marc-Andre Fleury, I think like top 55, you know, you don't want to cut him loose just yet, but you're getting next to nothing there as well. So I think that's just the classic scenario in fantasy where like you want to hold out until they rebound. But in some cases, especially in this one with the Kings, there's just no point in waiting.
I agree. And I mentioned the strength of the Kings right now is the top line of Arvidsson, Kopitar, and Brown. I see Dustin Brown, who's a veteran, but 18% rostered, covers shots and hits, doesn't have a power play point yet, but has 5 points in five games. So, you know, even if you have Peterson and you're good elsewhere at goalie, maybe if you have two good goalie options, you could even stick it in-house and say, I'm going to pick up Dustin Brown. He'll cover hits for me and he'll bring exposure to Kopitar. For what it's worth, is a very valuable player in multi-category leagues for many years running. And if Kopitar is going to have 75, 80 points this year, which is looking like he could be in that range, even if the Kings are a non-playoff team, then Brown will be along for the ride unless they do something drastic mid-season. So, James, thanks for joining us, man. We'll talk to you next week, and you know, everybody should check out nhl.com/fantasy to see the top 10 waiver wire piece and our rankings coming up this week. Forwards on Tuesday, defensemen on Wednesday, and goalies on Thursday. Thanks for coming on, James.
That's always great, guys. Appreciate you having me.
So for James Harding, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Thursday. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Hit us all up at Waiver Wire James on Twitter, at NHL Reese, at NHL Jensen for us on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll see you on the other side.